rousing start.
Yeah, it will be a rousing start. Because this is Stunt Granny Audio number 600. It needs a rousing start.
No way. Are we seriously going to use that? All right, that's fine. Hey, going back to the audio experience, the first one, nothing is going to be worse than that. So that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, why not? You know, I could hit stop and we could re-record, but...
Why?
Yeah, like, I kind of laugh that New Day keeps on, like, that's one of the few WWE podcasts I listen to on a fairly regular basis, and they've kind of had a fun gimmick going of just doing different intros every time.
Are they still going to do that podcast?
I have no idea. I hope so.
Technically, they don't hate each other, so they're still the New Day. But, you know, they're not together, supposedly, anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. Just
Long
because...
Jeremy, by the way, everybody, just in case.
Oh.
He just got into the show, don't worry about it. So, anyways. I didn't read anything. Was that, like, a genuine reaction from them on Friday?
It seemed like it to me.
Because Big E just looked like, you're really going to do this, huh?
Yeah.
Xavier yelling, you didn't say Big E. You didn't say E's name. You didn't say E's name. I'm like, this seems like a con. But Big E's reaction, or he's a great actor, he looked pissed. Like, are you kidding me? And then on, is it Talking Smack? Talking Smack.
Yeah.
Sami Zayn was on. He's like, I love you guys, but you know, logically, and then he interrupts Sami Zayn and says, man, how long you worked here? You think they care anything about logic? And I was like, oh, maybe this wasn't planned. So, okay. Or at least they didn't. Well, no, because they liked surprising the talent.
Right.
So, which honestly doesn't really matter right now. They're all in the same spot.
I did kind of laugh, and I'm like, oh, yeah, you can move spouses off brands, and it's not a big deal currently.
Yeah, but I think everybody's paired up with them, right?
Naomi
went to Raw.
Yeah, other than Naomi. Although, did both Jimmy and Jay get drafted to SmackDown, or just Jay?
That's Jay. And that's Jimmy. So
yeah,
Trinity's husband is the one that's hurt.
Yeah.
If I remember.
Yeah, so yeah, there is a possibility, I guess, that he ends up showing up on Raw later down the line, since I don't think his name was in the draft at all.
No, he wasn't. No. If you're injured, you weren't in it. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, because Edge wasn't announced.
Oh, yeah, I did not look at any of the ground rules. When Chris informed me that there were separate pools, that was the first time I had heard of it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the draft. I mean, it doesn't make any sense anyways. So the only one that ever made sense, sort of, was the first one. When they legitimately were like one for one. They were one for one in everybody. And the first pick was The Rock. The Rock or Undertaker or something like that. And, all right, it made sense. And then it was like, all right, we need the champions. You know, that sort of shit. Where this, Sami Zayn has the point of, you took the Intercontinental Champion in the fourth round.
Oh, and, yeah.
Like, listen to, like, the Observer Radio on Twitch. Brian Alvarez astutely pointed out, why wouldn't you just take, like, all right, I'm going to take the Universal Champion. I'm going to take the WWE Champion. Like, why wouldn't you want all the champions first?
That they did at least do that for Reigns and McIntyre this time around.
I missed the rules of that. Were they not allowed to be drafted?
Huh? They were the number one picks.
Oh, were they? Okay.
For each brand.
That's so close that I paid attention to that, though. So, that, all right, that makes some sense. So
yeah. Cool. Now, granted, things went off kilter after that, you know? Like, because I do agree. Like, they were the only two off the board because, I mean, because I don't think Bailey got drafted, like, two or three or anything like that. Plus, it's always strange now. I guess I understand why they give Raw the extra pick, because it has the extra hour, but, you know, but in a lot of ways, it just kind of makes it awkward and not feel like a draft. Like, there isn't really any need to move any additional talents to Raw in some way. You know, it's like, as long as it's an even exchange, there's no real reason to move additional people to Raw. Because they're not losing additional people
every single week. So, they're like, Titus O'Neil's staying on Raw. Wait, Titus O'Neil's on Raw?
Well, yeah, he's one of the Raw Underground guys.
Oh, by the way, what happened to that?
I think it's gonna... We're not sure. It might be back. I guess I kind of hope that it's back, but... Because him, Titus, Riddick Moss, Dabba Kato, and... So Dolph Ziggler was the only one to get shipped to SmackDown that was a regular, made a regular appearance in Raw Underground. Oh, Eric from the Viking Raiders has been pretty regular on Raw Underground too.
Yeah, but I think he's out. Like, both of the Viking Raiders are out right now.
Oh, Eric got hurt too?
Yes. Well, no, he wasn't hurt. He finally had surgery to, like, clean. I guess, remember the whole story about him having a motorcycle accident and he has a bar in his
forearm?
He finally got it taken out.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yes. He put a picture on Twitter of it. It was like him in the standard, was it?
Chicks dig scars?
Yeah, that sort of thing. So, well, that's a son of a bitch time to have it done, though, because his wife is pregnant.
I'm
stressed out enough as it is.
Yeah, it seems like some strange timing. They just figured it was just downtime in general, and it was time to do it.
Yeah, because I mean, what was he going to be used for? Raw Underground? Especially with, it's been gone, what, 2 weeks now it's been gone?
Yeah,
so and it, honestly, with it being gone, someone else pointed out it wasn't there. I went, oh, yeah.
I didn't even think about it, but they made a point when Braun Strowman showed up last week. They did make a point of going, oh, there's no Raw Underground this week, but yeah. It will be. I felt like they said something about it possibly being back.
Doesn't make any sense, but okay. The concept has never made sense anyways. So it's just kind of stupid to say it doesn't make sense, I guess.
Oh, but, yeah.
I mean, there's literally, like, I don't know, was there supposed to be a storyline for that? Like, an eventual storyline? Because that shit didn't make any sense. Like, there's a door in every single building they go to. Oh, I guess it'd be the same building. But, like, I don't know.
They did not establish the logic of Raw Underground still.
Yeah. But WWE wrestlers, they used to settle the score in the ring. You had, Aleister Black and Kevin Owens have a fist fight there, and then blah, 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 and just like, okay? Oh, that's what cracked me up this week, when they had the, Kevin Owens, Aleister Black, like, blow-off match, and I think it was Byron Saxton goes, you know, there's no other place they could do this, blah, blah, blah. And I went, they started their feud in a no-holds-barred wrestling ring, by the way. Their first match was over there, so this seems like a step backwards, actually. But
when you're finishing a feud on the weekly Raw show, it's not really a good sign at all.
And they do this every week, but or every year, but As soon as you see like Kevin Owens and Aleister Black loses, I go, he's going to SmackDown.
Oh.
Also, here's the pick, and he's going to SmackDown. It's like, okay, yeah, that's at least they're consistent in that weird logic. Like, well, he's leaving the territory, he's got to lose. No, he doesn't. He's still in the company. Like, okay.
Yeah, that was one where it's just like, man, I don't feel like Owens has had a decent win in a long time. But I'm like, Aleister Black seems like a weird guy to sacrifice in that spot. But I was like, whatever.
But it's like, do you remember when Aleister Black and Ricochet came up? How big they were? Like, the crowd was legit pumped. And they got over pretty well, all this stuff. And then, look where they're both at. It's so weird.
Yeah, they'd be better off back in a tag team again.
Yeah. But
because, yeah, like, Aleister Black got a little more of a run than Ricochet because he's not a dork.
Well, Ricochet at least won the U.S. title. And, you know, had at least something. I'm with you, though, by the way. Like, yeah, you goddamn nerds. Like, the thing is, have you noticed how he's been cutting better promos lately, Ricochet?
No. That one really? That he had last week was terrible.
Oh, the begging one? Hey. You know, hey, guys, if I beat you, then, blah, I'm like, ew.
He did the psych last week about joining them, and I'm like, I'm old enough to remember when psych was cool. It hasn't been cool for like two decades, man. Holy fuck balls!
Well, you gotta remember who's writing, who's approving what's being written.
Oh.
So that's probably still pretty cool in some people's vernacular. Because now it's done so ironically now, or like just like douchebaggy. Like you're besides like pulling a fast one on somebody and then saying "psych," you know, it's like, oh, you're just being a dick.
Yeah. So no, I don't think. Ricochet's promos have improved at all. Like, if anything, they're getting worse somehow.
I don't know if they're getting worse, but it... Alright, I will say this. The delivery is better. That's what I was going to say.
Well, yeah, I think that one was a real clunker with the whole psych. I do feel like... it's just so weird that, like, it's like he doesn't have a spine half the time, or, like, he doesn't care about... Because who do they always say that about? He doesn't care about, Dolph Ziggler, I guess. Like, it's almost like a Dolph Ziggler argument, where you just don't feel like the guy really wants to win. He just wants to show you his flashy moves.
Yeah, I've always hated that about Dolph. Like, that part of the character, I was like, this is stupid.
Yeah, well, and I guess I just feel like Ricochet's brain is almost in that, you know, in that mindset, you know, like, because he did great when he wasn't talking that much, you know, and they just, like you said, like, he won the U.S. title, but, like, when did he ever talk almost during that run? Barely ever?
Most famous is when he got smacked by AJ Styles or whatever. Right?
And that isn't much of a promo when you get slapped by someone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, you know.
Ricochet's just in a tough spot. Like, Black, I feel like they trust Aleister Black on the mic, at least.
Well, because Aleister has a defined character. He's this weirdo that just wants to fight. Ricochet is... Ricochet? Like, I don't know.
He's the one and only?
Yeah. Well, it's like, what does that even mean?
I don't know. Like, it was kind of funny that it was a wedge that got Cedric Alexander to leave, but neither of us can tell you what it means.
Yeah, that Cedric stuff's weird to me, too. Like, you've been beating this guy's ass the whole time, and then he joins your group and everything's cool. Like, why would you think he's worthy of being in your group and you used to beat the shit out of him all the time?
Well, it's almost that.
Apollo would have made sense.
It's that anti. Like, sometimes I get so tired of the fetch us some water, you know, clean my trunks, you know, throw rose petals on the way down to the ring or, you know, like all this stuff to embarrass people. Like, I think that that end of the. That kind of play gets overplayed in wrestling sometimes, where they just make the guys eat too much dirt in a way. Like, you know, there can be rookie hazing where they need to carry bags for a little bit, but like Cedric just completely bypassed that entry level stage. Like, Shelton Benjamin threatened him, but then everything was cool after that.
Pulling the fast ones. I'm not. Okay.
Great.
What? Yeah. That's all it took. But also, and I am not a fashionista by any sort of stretch of imagination. I haven't worn regular clothes since March, outside of like the few weddings we've gone to. Why does Shelton look like in his suit and stuff? He looks so out of place. Like, Bobby Lashley and MVP are dressed. And then there's Shelton. Like,
I guess the only thing I can say is that MVP definitely likes to dress. You know, like, he's always been a good dresser. Bobby Lashley, I guess I don't remember it from his first run, but I feel like he dressed up in TNA some, or whatever, Impact Wrestling.
Yeah, it was TNA back then,
yeah. Whatever. And I don't know if it's, you know, he had to start wearing suits for when he was fighting in Bellator that kind of got him turned on to that, but he has a pretty nice collection of suits, too. And yeah, Benjamin looks like he almost has like an 80s suit on where it's just kind of baggy.
Yeah.
And it's just like the other two are like fitted to them. And Shelton's just going like he could fit in with it Miami Vice for some reason.
Yeah, he's like straight off the rack, Shelton Benjamin.
Straight off the rack.
I got this tailored and all this. And he's like, God damn it. Okay. Well, sure.
I don't know. Maybe Shelton just doesn't have the main event money to get his suits tailored.
Well, big things are popping. Little things are dropping. So I was like, God damn, man. drop some money on some threads. What the hell are you doing?
Yeah, he does look very out of place in the suit department. Because he's worn them twice the last 2 weeks, and I too have noticed how ill-fitting his suits are.
I was waiting for Mia Yim to say something, or Retribution, or whatever her fucking name is.
I still don't know if they've mentioned her name on screen.
I don't know either.
Because I feel like the last show we did, we talked about her name possibly being Shatter. But I don't feel like they've actually said that on TV.
I don't know.
Plus, Retribution
she was like Retaliation or something.
Oh,
I don't think Shatter's one of them. No, Shatter was supposed to be
Mercedes Martinez.
Mercedes, but she's gone. She's not part of the group now. So, which is fine. Get her ass back to NXT. Ooh. So doing that dumbass gimmick that we're gonna have. But speaking of NXT, that's what we're supposed to start the show with. That's right. So.
There is definitely a log jam of women's talent in NXT. I almost think that Mercedes Martinez would be just fine on the main roster on her own and not coming back to some weird Robert Stone brand gimmick.
Yeah, that never made sense to me. So I didn't understand that at all. I'd rather just have her on SmackDown. It's just as Mercedes Martinez, you know.
You don't need to teach her anything. She doesn't need to be in
No, she'd
NXT.
probably help everybody else too.
Yeah.
Because Carmella stayed on SmackDown, right?
I guess.
Hey, who cares? Well, I was just gonna say she could help. She could help those people too. Especially since Serena Deeb is gone. She's now a part of AEW.
Well, whatever in that department. I mean, the WWE has so many good female workers that to me it's like whatever.
No, Serena was a trainer though. That's the big loss.
I
Is
got
she
you.
was helping to train the women, and they were like, "All right, we're gonna lay you off, you know, because we make too much money." So we want to make sure we keep making too much money. So you're out of here. Just weird.
But Sarah Stock's still there, isn't she?
Oh wait, am I getting them confused? No, I think they're both. No, I think Sarah Stock is gone as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just not Allison Danger. Jesus Christ, it's, Sarah Del Rey or. Oh God, what's her real name? Anyways, her.
Yeah.
She's always gonna be Death Ray. As much as they've tried, she's always gonna be Sarah Del Rey, you know?
Yeah, I smell what you're cooking.
Yeah.
Because I can't remember her shoot name either, because I don't have the
Something
I don't
Bonnet, I
care
can't
enough
remember.
to check. More than anything. So yeah, I mean, I guess as long as they have the head coach, I think I'm okay with it. Because I mean, the talent still within NXT itself is just kind of bonkers.
Oh, Sarah Amato. Yes. All right.
Oh.
That's her name.
Because it was almost weird to me that Io Shirai ran through most of the women's division there in NXT, and
Yes.
that they're almost already, well, not almost, they are already going back to a well that they've gone to during this run, because Candice LeRae was just kind of this one hit kind of weak, during a regular week feud. As much talent as they do have, there's still limits to who you can have Io Shirai face. I mean, they did kind of get some help with Toni Storm coming back and Ember Moon also back on the roster for new opponents, but she's wrestled a lot of the ladies that are down there already, like way too quickly. And I guess it's fine with Halloween Havoc seemingly popped up out of the blue. I guess it's fine to go back to the Candice LeRae well again.
Yeah, that's why I was surprised. All right, one, I thought this right before we went on the show, right before we started. If NXT wasn't owned by WWE, people would be far more in love with it than they are.
Oh.
The only thing that is preventing it from being more popular or having like that buzz or being AEW popular is the fact that they know WWE owns it. And
Yes.
that's why. Because
Yeah.
they have better characters, they have better wrestling. The booking's kind of weird now because they've gotten away from the long-term stories and stuff. But
Yeah, it's because their main event scene got dynamited in one match.
okay. I'm trying not to go all over the place with this, but who's the main event scene?
Well,
You know what I mean?
I don't know what their plans were, but they're like, okay, Keith Lee's moving to the main roster.
Yeah.
Which ships one guy out. Oh, Dijakovic was already off TV at that point and had kind of been already rumored to be heading up. Not to say that he was necessarily in the main event, but he's definitely a guy you could have thrown in there. And then Karrion Kross, the guy that you give the championship to, hurts himself in the...
Yeah.
Like, you had three guys. So, if nothing else, you had three guys in the main event just gone. Like, within...
Well, don't forget, Riddle went to SmackDown out of the blue.
Oh, yeah. And that wasn't that long ago.
No.
When Riddle left. So, yeah, like... I think that was a lot of their problem, and they had a storyline in mind for Finn versus Walter, but COVID killed it.
Yeah, so, we get kind of robbed of that one, huh?
Yeah, so that jacked up that storyline. So, like, you know, I feel like similar things have happened to AEW, too, and that they're kind of getting back on track now themselves. But I do feel like I'm kind of with you, like in general, I still more weeks than not, I like NXT more than AEW.
Yes. NXT to me at least feels like it has a plan. And AEW, I honestly like they've got a plan for Hangman and Kenny Omega, which I think is the only reason there's this number one contender tournament. And I want to talk about NXT, but I'll say this real quick. Hey, remember when AEW had rankings? Why the hell do you need a number one contenders tournament? Anyways, back to NXT. But you know, they like you're right. That's why I asked. Like, who's the main event scene? Because Ciampa's not in the main event. Gargano's down to the North American title specifically to help
Damian Priest.
Yeah, Damian Priest get better or get over. I think he's doing a good job.
Yeah, I think he's doing a good job on him just by himself because, I mean, you kind of mentioned it with, you know, not knowing the character of Ricochet at all. Like, I guess I didn't feel like I knew the Dijakovic character, even though him and Keith Lee had kind of had some battles. And Damian. And Damian Priest was another guy that was just like, oh, here's this other big guy that's fighting these other big guys. Isn't he cool? We got three big guys that can really move around the ring quickly.
Wasn't he like the modern man for tomorrow or something like that? Remember that?
No, I don't.
That didn't make any sense. I just didn't understand what does that even mean? I didn't get it. So they've taken care of that pretty well.
Yeah, him just, as Wade Barrett succinctly put it, that rock, bringing that rock and roll attitude. Like, the fact that the guy just likes to sleep with women, party, and then whoop someone is fantastic. Like, it's a very basic and understandable character.
We heard about after he won the North American title, like, that whole hot tub scene. He was supposed to get out of his gear, and he was so excited he just jumped in anyways. It was brand new gear, so it basically that gear's ruined. But he's like, you know, I was talking about like the rock and roll thing and this, and he's like, that's the perfect opportunity. I just jumped in. It was on the Corey Graves' podcast. He was talking about it.
Oh, okay.
And
that's awesome.
So here's one thing with him, though. He's gotten smaller. Like, he used to be a lot bulkier.
Oh.
I don't know why. I noticed it the last few weeks. Then this week, it was, to me, very obvious. But...
You know. Yeah, I'm with you. He doesn't look... and I don't know if that's... I mean, it could be a good thing in general. Like, I guess I always thought he almost... weirdly looked disproportionate. You know, like, he almost looked too gassed up for how tall he was.
Yeah, well...
And now he kind he kind of more looks like he's leaning towards that. Although I think he's taller, he's kind of more leaning towards the Randy Orton body type.
They said he was what, 6'8"?
Yeah, he's he's pretty tall.
I maybe it said 6'6". Even that, I mean, that's still. I mean, I say like I've never seen it before. My goddamn brother's 6'9". So I was like, but
yeah, he's not small in the family. Yeah, I don't know if he's quite that tall, but yeah, he might be 6'. Like, he's pretty tall though. Like, he's definitely taller than even your average big guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's Triple H loves him because there's obviously talent there. He can talk, which is nice. And I'll be dead honest, I wasn't that familiar with him with Ring of Honor. So
well,
when I saw him, he was dressed like Matt Hardy, which was weird, with a weird, like, mesh see-through sheer shirt and all that other shit. It's like, what the fuck is this guy? So,
yeah, well, he didn't have much of a personality there either. So, I mean, this is the first time, you know, he's had a defined personality. Because, I mean, the Archer of Infamy is still kind of confusing of what that means exactly, other than people get to make bow and arrow gestures during your match.
Yes. And always turn it around on you like Johnny Gargano did.
Right.
He's just in a channeling his inner Shawn Michaels, which I think is great. But no, like, he... Alright. So that main event this week... Listen. I kind of understood Sam Shaw. I don't understand Dexter Lumis at all. I don't get it. He just stares.
Yeah, they're trying to say that Creepy is a character. And not creepy in, like, a pedophile way, but just creepy, I guess. And it works for a while, but yeah, you need to have him do something more. Like, it's I think you can get over without talking that much and being that kind of silent but deadly type, but he still needs to back it up with some type of action outside of the ring to drive home a character. Like, well, because he wasn't really stalking Undisputed Era, or was that the only thing he did do?
No, that's exactly what I was about to say, is Johnny Gargano pretty much eviscerated him when he goes, wait, why does he get a title shot? He goes, all he does is sit around, stare, draw pictures. He kidnapped the guy. He should be in jail. He shouldn't be getting a title match. And I went, oh no, he's exactly right. Like, just clearly poking holes in the whole theory. Like, oh yeah. Because remember, he did kidnap Roderick Strong and Bobby Fish, right?
No, it was just
Roderick.
Yeah, it's just Roddy. But I did think that they had decent logic on that, saying that because an injury forced him out of the title match. Was it the title match or the chance at a title match?
It would have been a North American title.
Okay, yeah. Right. So, yeah, it forced him out of that title match, so he deserved a shot at the title, was the logic. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, okay.
That as like that checks out. Like, it's fine with Gargano. You know, Gargano's a heel, so he should be going in like that. So, but at least I remember. I think was Vic calling it this week. But yeah, whoever the play-by-play guy was this week covered that. So, yeah, and to me that did have some logic. Plus, when you have kind of screwball isn't the right finish, but an interference finish, everything. Although I guess you did end up with two interference finishes in on the show, which I kind of forgot about.
One wasn't exactly interference. One was helping somebody.
Yes. And that's the one thing, and we had kind of started down that road, but having Indy Hartwell around does spice up round two with Io Shirai and Candice LeRae.
Right. And I wonder if, you know, we say this all the time with this stuff, but it's like, Is that it for Io? Is she going down? Is she going to the main roster?
Like, other than her facing, you know, the two returnees in Toni Storm and Ember Moon, she really doesn't have a lot left, because when Shotzi and Candice were having their match, I'm kind of like, I don't want to see Shotzi lose to her again. Like, she had a good match with her first time around. There's no reason to have her have a second title loss, because I know that she's not taking the belt off of Io at the current moment.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. I was exactly the same way. I'm like, why are these two fighting over it again? But
yeah, so having Indy Hartwell help out, to use your terms, Candice there to win the match, it does help spice up the rematch and gives people some, you know, reason to fear that Io's title reign will come to an end because of the Gargano way.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I'm loving this Gargano way stuff, though. Like, Johnny's been great. Putting Candice in the mix as well with him has been great. Like, I love all of it. Gargano is doing his inner Shawn Michaels, which is just fantastic. The heel Johnny Gargano is way better than the face Johnny Gargano. The aw shucks, you know, I'm just glad to be living my dream stuff. Cool. This guy's way better. I just so much better. I love it. I just love it.
Yeah. Yeah. I've always enjoyed him as a heel, and he's honestly mostly been a heel on the independents, so he just needed to find the I definitely feel like he has a different character than he had on the independents as a heel. So I think it took him a little while to find that route, but he's found it and is really going with it now.
Yeah, and then I know this is a dork thing, but I really like the idea that their matches are part of the spin the wheel, make the deal, like the old Halloween Havocs used to have. I cheered openly for that. Like, perfect. Like, these two dicks are finally going to get what's coming to them. That's the whole point of it. Blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I'm still not sold on Shotzi, by the way. I like her, but I don't know. I like her and then don't like her at the same time.
She really seems to bring something weird and interesting to the ring. As far as her move set goes, like, I feel like she does a lot of stuff that, like, no one else does.
Well, she tries to kill herself for every time she's out there. So yeah, that's a little different. I'll give you that.
She only tried to kill herself once.
That goofy shit. I couldn't believe that.
I'm gonna die. I did kind of laugh that I saw multiple clips of her doing it correctly, but I thought about this more during the AEW women's match, just because I can't believe those knuckleheads wrestling at Daily's Place haven't realized that they need to stop doing spots that you can slip with because of how fucking humid it is there. I mean, at this point, it's been that the humidity problem at Daily's Place has been noticeable long enough that the wrestlers should be saying to each other, hey guys, we need to change up how we're running our offense here, because we keep on looking like a bunch of idiots because everyone's gross and sweaty all the time out there.
I mean, you saw how badly Miro was sweating. Jesus Christ. I know he did a lot in that match, but my God.
Yeah, he looked like he was in a sauna. And he wasn't doing that much in that match.
No. Which he shouldn't, because it's a jobber match, but...
Yeah,
but no, I... My thing with Shotzi is she's cool at one point. The presentation in ring's fine. That whole awkward speech of the Halloween Havoc reveal.
Oh.
I'm like, what are you doing? I honestly was like, why are you talking like this? We've heard you talk. You don't talk like this. I was totally confused.
Yeah. Yeah, that I thought that her promos have been fine, but that was like she's trying to do like host voice or something. It's just like, no, just do your voice and it'll be fine. Like, don't try to switch into some weird mode here. Just be you, and it'll be fine. Especially since, I guess I had forgotten that Spin the Wheel, Make the Deal was part of Halloween Havoc.
Yes. And, and also just WCW lore as well, so.
Yeah, I guess I just kind of think about... I always connect that to Las Vegas since that's when the WWE tended to do it.
Yeah. But yeah, so no, it's like her speech at the end was weird. Also, you mentioned the end of the North American title match. Cameron Grimes is slowly becoming one of my favorite guys. I didn't like him as Trevor Lee. I didn't get it. Honestly, it may have had something to do with that stigma of being a TNA act. That I was like, God, this is stupid. But as Cameron Grimes, like, when he hits Dexter Lumis with that move, and for once, a legitimate referee had no idea what happened. The referee was, like, checking like he's supposed to be.
Oh, yeah.
What happens, he's like, what the hell? And Cameron Grimes is there on the floor just, like, cheering to himself and all that stuff. Like, that's hilarious. And then he gets his ass kicked. And it was like, oh, okay, well, he deserved it. So, but it's like, it was perfect.
Yeah.
Looking down there. So, yeah, it made sense. It was great.
Yeah, he's a great, like, small kind of shitty heel where, you know, like, he really just tries to be intentionally an asshole. And
here's the thing.
It's
not
great.
That small. He's taller than I am.
Oh, is he?
I was in the front row for an Evolve show, and he's either as tall as me. I'm 6'2", which I guess to Vince is probably too small. But yeah, he came by like smacking hands with people and all this. He's got giant country hands on him too.
Oh, I didn't realize he was that big.
Yeah, and he's a big dude. Which, again, whenever you see these wrestlers, you see him in person, you're like, oh, wow, that's a lot bigger than I thought he was. Because you get, you know, Dolph Ziggler is a bigger guy, but he's around like behemoths, so he's going to look smaller, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, that one was still silly because, like, they were at least announcing him at 225 or something like that. And I'm like, man, if you're chiseled at 225, you're a big dude.
Yes. Well, look at Braun. That's a big human being.
Oh.
I mean, he's lost a lot of weight.
Yeah. He's just massive still.
Yeah, they missed the boat bad on him too. Like,
oh.
Do you remember how hot he was?
Yeah.
And now he's just not. He's just, no, that's it. No. You can only lose so often in the big profile matches as a big man before it's like,
yeah, they Roman Reigns them. But Roman Reigns figured a way to bounce back.
Yes, but, you know, the boss loves you, so.
Yeah, I mean, I still think that Braun has a chance to bounce back, but he definitely has, if it's not a mortal blow, it is definitely an appendage breaking or something like that, like that. He's having to recover from at this point in his career with how much damage they've done to him.
Yeah. But he's still making millions.
So, you know, oh, yeah.
I know, like, everyone wants to be like, I want to be the top guy. I want to be the top. Well, a lot of, you know, I'm gonna make a lot of money. I mean, that's a big thing. So.
Yeah. As long as you're popular enough to make lots of money, everything's going to be fine. I think Braun's going to.
Yeah.
He'll probably hang in there for quite some time.
Yeah, but no, like, even, like, NXT is doing so much right. That Drake Maverick, Killian Dane pairing is fantastic. Because obviously Drake's always been good.
Yeah.
He gets to show this goofy, like, what was it? The Furry and the Fury? Or Fury and the Furry?
Yes.
And he's like, I'm obviously the Fury. And here he's like, what am I? What am I? And have you ever seen, like, you know when people shave, they look like years younger? All Killian Dane did was shave his beard down, and he looks 20 years younger. He still has a beard, but it's way, way thinner. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, he trimmed up the beard. Because he is, like, isn't he, like, 25 or 28 or something like that? Like,
he may be 30. Yeah.
He is one of the younger guys on the WWE men's roster.
But it's like, you know, they have, like, I'm the Irish, I'm from Belfast, I'm the Irish bruiser guy, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, cool, there's a ton of people that do that. Well, now you got Drake bringing out personality in him. And that, when they first came out to the new theme music, and Drake is dancing like an asshole, and he's just yelling, no, no, this is not our stuff. That's like one of the only times you see like a difference. That was the first time you saw a different personality from him. And it was like, oh, okay, so you're not just this bruiser guy. Cool. And it was great. I think it's been great. Like, Drake obviously can do that stuff. I mean, shit, he was doing that with EC3 for the longest time.
Oh.
So this isn't like a new concept or anything, you know?
Yeah, he's a manager without being a manager.
Yeah. And you, who's, now one complaint I'll say from this whole thing is I still don't know him. Who the fuck is Jake Atlas? I know nothing about this guy. I'm going to bitch about this until they do something with it. And I'm being dead serious. Is he gay? Is, like, the guy who plays Jake Atlas, is he gay?
I have no idea.
Okay. The reason I'm asking is they keep using all of, like, the catchwords. So when someone's, like, the first NBA guy or first NFL guy or to, like, come out, they're courageous, they're bold, they're this, they're this. All the catchwords they use. Like media or like whatever your marketing people.
Yeah.
They're using all of the same words for him. And I'm like, are they just trying to like sneakily say it? Like, and by the way, I mean, you know what I mean? Like sneaky say it without coming out and saying it. Like,
yeah, they do to me at least. I've got to agree with you that they seem to almost lean into the fact that he could be.
Yeah.
But the thing that's weird about it is that they haven't really made a big deal out of it with Sonya Deville. They didn't do anything with I can't believe his real name is Fred. Darren Young.
Yeah. Well shit, yeah, what they do with him? Nothing. I mean, they didn't do anything with him. You would have thought as soon as he came out like publicly, they'd be like, "Oh, we're putting the tag team titles on him. We're gonna parade him to all the shows as our first openly gay tag team champion." And yes, that's exploitive. I know.
Yeah,
it's WWE. Yeah.
Which is why you expect the WWE to do it.
Yeah. So they never gave. What was the name of that tag team with him and Titus?
Primetime Players.
They never gave them. Like, they had that great match with the Usos at one of the pay-per-views, or the pay-per-view pre-show. And I was like, wow, that was really good. Like, yeah, because they were good. Oh. It was only until they caught up to the main roster that they weren't very good anymore. So, but anyways. So it's like they're bringing that stuff. The reason I asked about Jake is just because of that. And I guess it doesn't really matter.
Hey.
Like, you know, like there's no show. Like, I'm sorry, there's no storyline for him. He got his ass beat by Tommaso Ciampa.
Oh.
That's it. Like, that's it.
Yeah, he kind of seems to be in that mode where he's getting the airtime, and I feel like they do this with some of the NXT talents they're not completely sold on, where they kind of almost get these high-profile jobs that they got to do, and then they finally start building them up. Because I feel like Bronson Reed was kind of in that category as, you know...
Yeah, where's he been?
Fairly recently. I don't know. Like, he kind of dropped off the face of the earth after the last TakeOver.
Well, so he beat up Austin Theory, 2 weeks in a row?
I believe so.
So, there's that. Outside of that, yeah, there's not a whole lot going on with the guy.
No. He's been pretty MIA as of late. But I do feel it kind of took them a while to get him into a push. And I feel like they've done that to a couple other people fairly recently, too. And because they don't have a character in that phase either, which kind of makes it awkward. Like you said, like he kind of needs more of a character to help. To help himself out.
Yeah, it's almost like tag teams might actually serve a purpose. Interesting. That's why you split them all up, I guess. So,
oh.
Anyways, yeah. But no, I just like, we haven't even gotten to the women of NXT. It's, and that's why when you're texting me and saying, like, oh, I still need to watch the AEW women's match, I was like, no, you don't. You know you don't need to watch it.
Oh, man. I think I was almost dying more from this week's just because of now I've seen the review that I pulled up to kind of remember what happened on Dynamite was like, oh, that was a good match. There were some bad spots. And I'm like, you've got to be fucking kidding me, dude. Like,
they're trying to do too much.
That was to me the prime example this week of were you not paying attention that everyone is just sweaty as all hell? Like, they had like at least two of the three blown spots were because someone was too sweaty, whether it was Sheeta or Swole, and it just completely jacked up the move.
I think you're being nice. I just think, like, Swole hasn't been doing this very long.
And
Sheeta's somebody who hasn't been, that I know, maybe she's been doing it well. Beats the fuck out of me. But,
it's yeah. Just,
I don't know, Kenny Omega's in, supposedly Kenny Omega's in charge of the AEW Women's Division. Well, Kenny, you need to get your shit straight, dude. You know?
Because... Yes.
Because you're not helping these women out. You're not.
Yeah, whoever is in charge... Because I guess there's been some back and forth about who's in charge of that. Because I guess that was the other thing that I did see today, that it was just like... Because it was Britt Baker saying that, hey, you say you want more women's stuff in AEW, but our segments are always the lowest segments. You need to watch them. And I'm like, that whole ratings thing is still weird to me, I guess, just because, yeah, I'm not watching both shows at the same time, just period, end of sentence. I watch one, then I watch the other. It's just the way that it happens. So I don't think I give ratings unless it counts my DVR'd version 9 times out of 10. So I don't know how you get, you know, like minute by demo god material from that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Britt's like, you got to give us a chance. Like, we're still, and I'm like, you're all terrible for the most part. Like, her character development has been brilliant.
Yes. See, I saw the same thing, and I don't agree with her at all. And the point of it is, it's they're not turning it off because it's women. We've already seen that with AEW fans. They're loyal. They watch the whole thing because they think it's good. Like, it doesn't matter what we think if the fans watch and think it's good. Here's the problem. they don't think it's good. So they turn it off. It's just like when your team sucks, you don't go to the games. It's that sort of thing. And maybe it was too strong of a word in here, but like, where the hell's Nyla Rose?
She got Vicky Guerrero as a valet and has not been on TV basically since then.
Yeah, she had some match.
Yeah, she had an appearance like the two weeks after she brought Vicky on board, and then has been MIA since then. It's like okay.
And I think they overestimate the amount of people that watch Dark and that care about Dark. Like I'll watch it if they do their highlight video and they tell me, hey, look, blah 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 is wrestling. Like they break the show down. And I'm like, cool. Alright, that's a lot easier to follow. Because Dark sometimes is 90 minutes long. That's without commercials.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, no. I mean, if I was at work, I mean, I'm working from home, so I guess I'd be all right. But I don't know. It's like I don't have another 90 minutes to devote, knowing I'm going to give 2 more hours to you guys the next day, and as well as give 2 hours to WWE, or NXT, excuse me. Same fucking thing. But
right.
It's like, goddamn. I was like, I still record Impact, and I will fast forward through it. Just to see the stuff I like.
To kind of steer things back to the women.
Yeah.
Last I was watching Impact, women's matches, great.
Left and right.
Great women's matches. Last I saw. You can attest to present times. But I would assume things are still going well because and that's the other thing, like, I don't know how they keep on, AEW keeps on signing the wrong women. I mean, we talked about her with the WWE, like, and it's always worth bringing up, how did they not sign Mercedes Martinez, AEW? Yes. And who just, did Tennille Dashwood go to Impact Wrestling?
Yeah, she's back again.
She's an improvement over what they have. I mean, I don't think you're going to have your next big star or anything, but it's an improvement over what you have.
Honestly, a lot of this may be flexibility. Like, Impact may, like, her contract may be that she can go do something else.
Oh.
But if you're AEW, it's like, it's still worth it. I mean, just.
Yes.
I can't imagine AEW's, or not AEW, Impact, is paying more money than AEW. I mean, maybe they do, but that just seems silly.
Yeah, unless you're like one of their top people, I wouldn't think that Impact is outpaying. Like, I would think if you just go by the average wrestler, that AEW is probably paying more on average than Impact is. So yeah, even if you get an average contract, it would seem to make sense to be there rather than with Impact. And yeah, there's still, and I'm trying to think, was there someone else from the WWE that went to Impact recently?
Not that I know of, no.
Okay.
Not outside that group of people.
Okie dokie. I guess I'd probably need to look.
Deanna Purrazzo?
Oh, yes.
She's their champion.
Yeah, I forgot. But she's another one that it's just like, you know, do you have the next Trish Stratus on your hands? Probably not. But again, she is 100% an improvement on whatever else basically you have on the roster. So, like, why didn't you get a hold of her? Like, that is kind of a weird one to me. You know, why they didn't pony up for her? Like, so, I mean, AEW is just kind of also they've hamstrung themselves by not signing the right women.
Yeah. Well, the fact that, like, they've got, like, I almost said Veda Scott, but she's at least doing commentary or something, but.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, WWE really started going, and Impact was smart enough to get out ahead of it. And be like, okay, we gotta get our own people. You know? Because.
Oh, well, and some of their women, as much as I like them on Impact, I'm not sure that the WWE is going to want them from a presentation standpoint.
Like Rosemary?
Like, yeah, like Rosemary and Sue, is it Sue Young?
Well, Sue Young, when she's not in the Sue Young outfit, she's in the, wait, what's her, oh my God, I totally blanked. What's her alternate identity?
Oh, she has an alternate identity?
Yeah, it's Sue Young, and then she's... So she's that Sue Young is the undead one, right?
Yes.
And then she has her regular one now.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you haven't been watching. It's actually pretty clever. They... I just go with it. But
okay.
Basically, they kept having matches, and Sue Young was put in the grave. The trick is, it was psychologically put in the grave, and I think her name's Susie.
Oh, okay.
So she's like this, she's just this happy-go-lucky chick, and all this, and then Rosemary had to do something and conjure her back up because something was going wrong, and all this stuff, and it's like, it's straight out of, like, weird horror movie.
Oh, well, but again, like, why? So... Those women, they saw, to me, if I saw what happened to Matt Hardy when he went to the WWE, I would be staying away from that place. Because, yeah. Like, they have a gimmick, they have a place where they're allowed to run it, and run it the way that it should be run. Like, yeah, is it batshit crazy? Sure. 100%. But, you know, there's at least a fun internal logic to those type of things.
Yeah.
That, again, like, I don't need my wrestling to all be super serious to be able to enjoy a feud.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's good. Well, because now Rosemary's getting married to Taya Valkyrie's male assistant.
Oh. Yeah.
The only person that can marry her, though, is James Mitchell, who is no longer on this mortal coil. So it's up to Jessica Havoc. She can resurrect him. So they're having a match next week between Rosemary and Jessica Havoc. And if Taya wins, then... I'm sorry, if Rosemary wins, then Jessica will resurrect Father James Mitchell so he can preside over the ceremony.
Oh, that is outstanding.
Dude, I was like, that's really cool. That's pretty clever. They got their own weird world going, and it I don't know, it just kind of works. So
yeah,
I don't know. I thought it was fun. It's something different. It's different than what you see in wrestling, and it wasn't terrible. So that's all I cared about.
Yeah.
But yeah, I find it creative. So, and then you've got AEW's women's division, where it's like, what are you? Come on, guys. You got more goddamn money.
Yeah. Like, I can't believe that those are the best female wrestlers that they could find. Like, I wasn't, before her injury, I wasn't, like, blown away with Chris Statlander. I think she's good, but she didn't blow me out of the water. I do think that Britt Baker looked way better when she came back last week from the injury and looked... Because, like, I didn't think she looked that great in the ring. Like, as much work as she's done on her character, her in-ring stuff had been kind of bad. And just, like, from what I had remembered seeing with my own eyeballs at live indie events, I'm like, why is this happening? Like, it didn't make any sense to me why she looked so bad in AEW. But that last that beatdown that she that squash match she had last week looked great.
Yeah, it's and I that's where a lot of people are saying, all right, it's time to just put the belt on Baker and let her run with it. And I go, no, it's time to put it back on Nyla Rose, who should have never lost in the first place, and let her get chased. Build up your baby faces to take the belt away from her. And then if that includes like getting outside people, like they just signed Ivelisse, so that's good.
Well, that's kind of part of the problem, though, is like they're all heels. And like Hikaru Shida is the only real baby face. Like, I guess Swole is a baby. Well, yeah, I shouldn't say I guess Swole. Swole is definitely a baby face.
Well, Statlander was obviously.
Oh, yes.
And then, all right, is Brandy a face?
Oh, thank God she's not wrestling.
But no, I'm being serious. Like when she wrestled, she wasn't. And then her and Allie start teaming up, and we're supposed to treat her like a baby face, like.
Oh, and I kind of forgot about that. Like, I feel like I saw Allie have decent matches in Impact. Why she's not being used as a female talent is head scratching at best.
Yeah, I don't know. We never know like what these guys like why they're there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe they're there because they want to be in entertainment. They got the resume, and I'm like, nah, I'm not. I don't feel like wrestling anymore. So, I'll just be here. But it's weird. Like her husband's there, and he said he didn't want to be part of. Like he's like, we don't need to be a team, which is cool. I mean, that's nice of him. It's, I mean, not nice of him, but it's like it's a good thought process. Like, no, we can go out there and make like our own individuality. It's that's
Oh,
fine. So
yeah.
I think that's good too. So
Yeah, well, not that the gimmicks weren't working any better without her, but I guess at least he's with Rey Fénix and Eddie Kingston and I don't know, Zero Fear guy, Pentagon.
yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. They're still in a pretty weird spot. Like they were in a weird spot with her. They're still in a weird spot now. Like I still don't know what to make of them. And I just constantly think about them being painters now that you've said that.
Okay, they explained their gimmick, and I see exactly what they're talking about. They were originally supposed to be like, like in all these weird, like crime movies or whatever. Well, not even crime movies, but just like, we're going along, and like they've tried everything. Well, now we got to get these guys to come in and clean things up. And every time they call in like the last ditch effort in movies or TV show, it's always some weird dudes or some weird guy or girl. It's no
Oh.
one normal. That's what they were going for. It's like, okay, so like butchers by day, and then they wrestle for a bounty at night, that sort of thing. And I went, oh. Well, no one's ever explained that.
And
So.
I guess like that still seems like some pretty weird and flimsy logic that Bob Sparkplug Holly is going to come down for his side gig in wrestling.
Well, no, that just didn't make sense anyways. This was more like, that's the reason they look and dress the way they do. That's it. That's really the only excuse. Like, that's why they look the way they do and all that sort of stuff. Like,
Right.
the presentation part, not the backstory. So,
Oh, I okay.
So,
Well,
but again, yeah, you're right,
yeah,
so.
it's still kind of a major problem to not have a backstory to explain why you look that way or why you're teaming with seemingly a Latinx team.
That's weird. They said they're all friends, so it didn't matter. So, okay.
Yeah.
I don't. All right, this is my big problem with AEW. It doesn't seem like there's a plan. It's just a week by week thing, or month to month, maybe. But so they bring in Eddie Kingston for what's essentially, you know, a tryout match. Not a tryout match, but like he cut a promo on Cody at an independent event. Cody sees it, he's like, "Yeah, bring him in, let's wrestle." They liked him so much they kept him. Cool. And now he's main eventing against John Moxley. Wait, what? Like, what about all the other guys? It doesn't make sense. Did you see the end of the match?
Yeah.
Okay. They go through all that shit, and all of a sudden he can just easily roll up Archer like that? I went, whatever. And then Archie gets hit with a chair and doesn't even react to it. It's just, I don't know.
Well, it's kind of funny. Like, them putting in the rankings has almost created their own hurdle that they need to keep on jumping over to establish feuds rather than the rankings. And John Moxley seems to kind of be getting tangled up in these because he seemingly has a beef with Lance Archer still, considering that they fought all night.
Yeah.
And really, they did not, to me, yeah, like, that's not a good resolution to the match.
No.
Like, I guess you can argue, oh, well, he out-wrestled him, but it's one of the, especially that crucifix pin, it just is so easy to get out of, especially when you're the bigger guy. Like, it's one thing when a bigger guy rolls up a smaller guy, but when it's the other way around, it's kind of a bad look. Like, there's no reason that Lance Archer shouldn't be able to kick his legs and at least get a shoulder off the mat.
Yeah. Because they couldn't even say it was the referee's fast count. Like, no. Your ass got beat. Like, okay. And I actually really dig the Lance Archer stuff. The guy looks like a legit psycho. And
oh.
It,
yeah.
Outside the dumbass helmet he had. I don't know who said he should wear that goofy biker helmet, but don't do that again.
Fair enough. I'm good with that.
Yeah. But no, like I told you, we saw him at that New Japan show. Scared the shit out of us.
Oh.
Just lunatic comes down to the ring, swearing, like openly swearing at everybody. Starts beating up guys around ringside. I'm like, what the hell is going on? And I guess I didn't pay attention to New Japan enough to know that's what he does all the time. But it got me when, like, some guy was like, yeah, like, cheering for him doing it. And he just tells the guy to shut the fuck up. I'm like, Jesus, all right, well, I guess you guys aren't friends. So it was great, though. Like, it's just the kind of stuff you don't usually get. So I guess that's why it stood out so well. But
yeah. He does seem to portray that level of unpredictability well.
Yeah, and can we finally put a moratorium on Jake Roberts being at ringside? Because he just got up on the ring. Did you notice that? He just gets on the ring and stands there.
He's needed to be off television for at least since the pandemic. Other than introducing Archer and setting up that feud with Cody and why he's kind of bringing in Archer to kind of take care of Cody, he's not adding anything to the presentation at this point.
No.
And hasn't for a while.
If anything, to me, he's taken away from the presentation. Like, he said Archer didn't want to talk. Okay. Well, then Archer talks, and he is awesome at it. When they were just going through that little tete-a-tete, and then Jake's just there in the background, like, okay, whatever. I mean, Archer was really good. So I was confused why they felt the need to have Jake Roberts come in, which I'm always confused about their decisions with that stuff. Vicky Guerrero doesn't need to be there. Tully Blanchard doesn't need to be there. Like, none of these people need to be there.
Oh, I.
Here we are.
I was almost crying when Sean Spears showed up for the first time, and Lord only knows how long, and has that taped promo, and Tully Blanchard shows up behind him at some point. And I'm like. Like, that's just one of those ones. It's just like, it's just cracking me up. Like, he left the WWE to come into the same situation in a new company to just be left by the wayside.
Yep. Everyone kept saying there was going to be a new Four Horsemen with Cody and him. And this was going to happen. This was going to happen. And not one goddamn thing of it just happened. It's just happened. And maybe. Like the COVID outbreak has like derailed some of this stuff. They only seem to have a like even Cody, he wasn't supposed to lose the TNT title. That was never supposed to happen. But when he went to TV, they thought, well, no. Or he went to go make that TV show. They were like, no, we need somebody to have this title. I mean, it's defended every week. That's why Brody Lee won. And then. He just loses it as soon as Cody comes back. And it's like, okay, so there's a plan for them, for him. There's a plan for the Young Bucks. There's a plan for Omega. And there's a plan for Paige. And everybody else is just on the sidelines. Like, I know Jericho's got his thing going. But now all of a sudden, like, MJF wants to be part of the inner circle. It's like, oh, all right, we can all see what's going, what's coming. But I just...
We can.
It's, to me, it seems as if the inner circle is going to turn on Jericho. That's where it seems to be leading to me. I mean, maybe not.
Okay, I like this being the third segment of them doing the same shtick. I just kind of tapped out at some point. I'm like,
true.
And then they're just like, let's do it over a steak dinner. I'm like. Oh my god, this thing's gonna keep on going?
Yep.
Motherfucker, like, why? Like,
yeah, I do think it's gonna be something to where this causes the inner circle to break up. Whether they turn, or, like, because Proud and Powerful, Santana and Ortiz, they were like, we don't want him in. Like, no. Jack Swagger didn't say anything, he just wants to beat the hell out of Wardlow. And then Sammy Guevara, he's not listening to him. So it seems like this is just Max's way of trying to break him up while say they're going to join him. Because the whole character of... Excuse me. The MJF character doesn't make sense joining a group.
Him saying that he was going to join a group has been weird from the jump.
Mm-hmm.
And... I mean, I guess I enjoyed it the first couple of times, but like the giant coat for Sammy Guevara, I just rolled my eyes. I guess I don't completely understand why he's picking on Guevara in particular.
Yeah.
Like that, there isn't. MJF definitely has a defined character, but there's no thing that in there that says he's just picking on Mexicans. I get, you know, like
I get what you're saying.
You know, like I don't, you know, like I guess I'm trying to find whatever logic there is. Like it's, you know, he was fine with Santana and Ortiz. He's fine, it seemingly, with Swagger and his goddamn gorilla arms. Like he could get him,
no kidding,
he could get him a jacket fitting right, but he's not getting it for Sammy for some reason.
I guess because he's not scared of Sammy. Maybe that's it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, I yeah, I guess I'm fine. Like, the Inner Circle's always been kind of that's been another one that it's not much different than Eddie Kingston's group. Like, from the jump, it's been like, why exactly are these guys together? Like, and it was almost Riot Squad-y in the fact that it's just like, yeah, we're all best friends, but I'm like, I don't feel this, guys. Like, you can show me all these, what was it, the Inner Circle bunch or whatever, that they did all the Zoom stuff, and I'm like, I you guys aren't really vibing with each other. Like everyone just literally seems separate, like you are. So I guess if MJF breaks them up, it's probably one of the better things to happen, honestly, for everyone involved. Well, actually, I don't understand why Sammy Guevara has to also have a never-ending feud with Matt Hardy.
Especially after all the shit that's happened to Matt in this feud, why continue it? You know? Like, why?
Kill the poor man. I just kind of had to laugh too. It's just like, oh, well, now that I'm medically cleared, I thought nothing happened, Matt. Everything was peachy keen after that match, Matt.
Yeah, I know. I that whole babyface bullshit promo when he came out and he's like, yeah, you know, this and this, blah, blah, blah. I was like, he's not going to say he has a concussion, is he? Nope, he didn't. I was like, okay. And I saw people praising that, and I was like, that's bullshit. He should have just come right out and said, yep, got a concussion, guys. So I'm out, you know. Yeah. That whole thing was ridiculous. So
yeah, it was just so that AEW didn't get completely, their clocks completely cleaned by him admitting on TV that he had a concussion. But when you say that I'm medically cleared, you just said I had a concussion.
Yeah, because there's physically nothing wrong with you. Well, you know what I mean, like arm, shoulder.
Knee. Nothing physically noticeable. That can be pointed to.
But, yeah, there's so many problems that get overlooked because they're still the cooler one. Again, if NXT was owned by Tony Khan and run the way it was, everyone would be singing the praises of NXT.
Oh, yes.
And I should really stop comparing them, because I'll tell you right now, the presentation, like the look on AEW is far superior to this goofy shit in the Capitol Wrestling Center.
Yeah,
I like the dirty stuff, but this is just bland. Dark and bland.
Yeah, the Capitol Wrestling Center does nothing for me.
No.
At all. Like, they're like, oh, it's gonna be authentic NXT. And I'm like, you're doing the same thing that they're doing on the main roster, except there are a few less LED boards for people to watch.
Yes, yours is angular, not curved. It's got more dry ice air or whatever.
They've got cages surrounding the ring. That makes it way different, guys.
Yeah. But I'll say that they give you some cool visuals. That screen they have... They have better entrance videos than than the main roster does.
Oh, I do kind of like the little stage piece, actually, with the big X is actually kind of nice.
Very cool.
But other than that, the design doesn't really do a whole lot for me, and was not, it just didn't differentiate itself enough from the rest of the main roster to warrant, hey guys, we're getting a new look. Oh, okay, great. Thanks. Moving along.
Just like everything else, they have to call some goofy name. Capitol Wrestling Center. It's like, come on. We all know what it is. It's a performance center. They just redid part of it. But
yeah,
whatever. That's just nitpicking. But both shows, I mean, I wasn't watching AEW going, this is terrible. But I was watching AEW going, this should be better. This should be better.
Oh, but, yeah,
because... Well, Elise was complaining because of the situation with Miro and Kip Sabian. Now, one, why was his arcade machine out there and not in the back? I'm even giving in to the fact that he travels with it. But why was it in the crowd? As soon as they showed it, I was like, someone's going to break it tonight. Well, they broke it in the first one. It's just like, they're so predictable, he's going to come out and beat him up. I was like, well, Kip did say, get him out here. Like, he wasn't going out just because. Like, Penelope ran back to get him and told him what happened. I like little stuff like that. I thought that was nice. But the other thing is, if they were supposed to have a match right after the tag match, why was Kip out there playing video games? Did he, like, not care that much?
I guess starting with the logic that the video game console was out in the crowd just kind of killed the whole thing for me.
Yeah.
Just because, like, and it was another match where it was a squash match, but why is Miro still not destroying people?
Yeah,
I don't get it. Like, he wasn't putting Jericho in the camel clutch, man. Like, it's some enhancement talent, for fuck's sakes.
Yeah.
There should not have been a commercial break for that match.
They just add where they can. And I guess they think it's okay because of the picture in picture. But I think what you're getting at is the length of it, and yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it should be
Kip
a squat.
It was funny. Kip tagged in for one move, and then tagged him right back in. That was kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of funny, but they still could have done it in a shorter match.
Right, right.
Which, and again, it's just fine. Like sometimes, like. Yeah, hiding behind the big dog is kind of funny, especially when the big dog still just basically wants to destroy people anyway. And, yeah, I don't know. I have not been a big fan of the Miro reappearance.
It's not how I would have brought him in, that's for sure.
You know, I that's all there is to it.
But look at it this way. Say you bring him in with all this fanfare and all this big stuff, right? He's going to lose. Look at Archer.
Oh.
Brian Cage. Well, Brody Lee, he destroys Cody and then loses the rematch. You know, it's like,
yeah.
Okay, like they bring in these guys and they lose. So maybe this is a better way of doing it. I don't know. Hey. But sure as hell better than hyping up somebody for all this time just to lose. What, Archer lost his first title match against Cody?
Yeah, and he's going
to... he loses again. Like,
yeah, and if he gets another match against Jon Moxley, he's going to lose because he's one of those guys, I guess I just don't see him ever being champion.
I don't know. I mean, maybe. But it'd be pretty rough to have, like, your, I guess it's the marketing aspect, but, like, the Murder Hawk is a champion of your professional wrestling league. But, you know, it could be.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anything's possible with it. But right now, it just seems like the core guys have their and the Young Bucks are obviously entwined with FTR.
Oh.
But, like, Best Friends, okay, they got this. Like, SCU, who the hell knows where they are? The Dark Order is just kind of goofy outside of Brody Lee. And Anna.
Oh, yeah.
So, it's like, there's so much there. But, and maybe we're impatient. Maybe this all does make sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not giving them that much credit, honestly.
Well, I'm hoping maybe they'll pull the wool over our eyes.
Because, the Young Bucks stuff just is not exciting me either. Like,
Well, part of it is, all right, and this is the big problem with this one. You have to watch BTE for, like, the backstory on it, like, some of the other story to this. There's a whole thing with Brandon Cutler trying to bring the Young Bucks and Adam Page together, but somebody's sabotaging them coming together.
Oh, okay.
You don't know who it is.
Yeah, that's another one where I guess I've just kind of checked out of BTE.
The Dark Order stuff still cracks me up. Because John Silver's hilarious. And even this week, like, the whole gimmick on that was with the Dark Order was they walk in, Brody Lee hates everybody except for Stu Grimson. Well, this week, it was after he lost the title. He goes in, and he's like, where were you? Where were you? He's like, going to everybody. He's like, I fucking hate you. Get out. And he looks at Silver, and he goes, you sit down. Silver's like, what? He goes, you can stay. Because Silver helped him out. So when it comes to TV, they're going to come out, and everything's going to be fine with Brody Lee and John Silver, but you don't know that if you don't watch BTE.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's like that's the kind of stuff that they need to have on television. Instead of these 20-minute segments with Jericho and MJF again. Or a tag team battle royal or tag team drum thing, blah blah blah. So the Young Bucks can kick somebody again.
Yeah.
Like I saw a headline on another website and they said AEW a year later. After 1 year is more like the competition than they should be. And I thought that was very fair.
Oh.
We were promised something different, but we're getting the same shit. Not as bad, obviously.
Oh, right. But,
you know. So if you're in a sports-oriented product, then that's just gone totally out of the wayside. So.
Yeah, I mean, they present things a little bit differently than the WWE, but it's not that much different.
No. I think that's a good one for 600, because we're both slowing down.
Yeah, but both of us are tapping out. Bell Time Beer on my end, Mother Stewart's Pool Shark Pale Ale from Springfield, Ohio, which is... approximately not halfway through my commute currently. So, yeah, it's a nice summer beer, and I'm trying to get rid of the summer beers that are currently in my beer closet. So this one falls under that category because there is not going to be any more pooling unless it's of the table variety in these neck of the woods.
Yeah, mine is the... Lower Left Brewing Hyperion New England Double IPA. They are 3/4 of a mile from my house. So that's what I'm drinking. Nice, heavy light, juicy double IPA. I don't usually like those, but pretty damn good. And it's 8.9%. So, yeah, don't eat. You feel really good after two of them. So, we've closed them down plenty of time.
So. Good. At DeFrango 11, at Granny Maze, brand, at Stunt Granny. If you would please like to, after 600 of these, and definitely more, please rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you happen to listen to us. Help us out. Finally. Thanks. Love you. Night.
Peace.